All right. Tonight I want to continue where I guess I left off last Sunday. Last Sunday I started unpacking the book of Mark. And I don't want to call it a series because a series means that I'm going to stick to a theme. It's just a project. I want to unpack the book of Mark. And obviously every time you look at a passage of Scripture, there's a new topic that comes up. And so over the next X amount of times that I preach, I will be just taking Scripture from Mark and unpacking them with the particular topic that kind of hits home for me. And I'm excited about tonight's message. And just entitled it, The Time is Fulfilled. I want to read from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. I'm reading from the NAS, which is the New American Standard Version. And it came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out from the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And last week I spoke out of that passage there. And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with wild beasts, and angels were ministering to him. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So much out of that passage. But I just want to focus tonight on that little part that says the time is fulfilled. The Greek vocabulary has two words to express two different concepts of time. When we speak of time, we generally think of it just from one of the concepts that I will explore tonight, and we don't really think about the other concept. The first concept is chronos time, and the second concept is kairos time. Now, we're going to leave those two pictures up there for a while. Chronos time is obviously your watch. It's chronological time. It's the time ticks by every second. And when we say in our vocabulary, the time has come, we generally mean that it's time. It's, you know, it's 3:30, time to pick up the kids at school. It's soon my 5 p.m. appointment. We look at time from the aspect of chronology. Chronos is the time that passes by. The past, the present, the future. It's a time we live in and that makes up history and obviously points towards the future. We live, obviously, mainly anchored in chronos time. We make our plans based on chronos time, based on this concept. Tomorrow I will do something. And tomorrow means within the next 24 hours when we say, I have plans to do this next year, we are obviously thinking in terms of chronos time. And we build our life based on the management and the planning on chronos time. We get frustrated because time runs out. And we only have a certain amount of time. And we hear motivational speakers tell us that we must learn to manage our time well because time is that one thing that you can't store up. Once it's gone, it's gone. And if you've lost the time or if you've misused time, you actually can't do much about it. And it is a lost resource. We get old and we realize that we haven't fulfilled the things that we would have liked to fulfill. And so we tend to do like Abraham does. We tend to take matters in our own hands. See, God had given to Abraham a promise. And God had said to Abraham, I will give you offspring and I will bless that offspring, and in you all of the nations of the world will be blessed. And God and Abraham kind of looked at his situation. He said, well, the problem is this. I don't have any offspring. And on top of that, I'm getting old. And the time will come. Where the use by date will pass by, and there will be no possibility, no opportunity for God's promises to be fulfilled in my life. It will be too late. Abraham was looking at the promises of God based on chronos time. And so he took matters in his own hands and he created an Ishmael. Because time was the basis upon which he looked at God's promises and what God was wanting to do in and through him. And we do that. We are limited. We're limited because we have been brought up and we're so immersed in this world of chronos time that we just can't see and understand anything outside of that concept. So we think that God's promises for our lives have a use by date stamped on them, that once it's too late, it's too late, that God can't do anything. We actually think, for instance, that major events of our lives are based on chronos time. Singles who are waiting or who would like to find a partner in life kind of look at that event of finding a partner in life, that event is limited by chronos time, that eventually time will slip by and the promise of or the desire to find a partner will actually slip by because of chronos time. Time is ticking and there's got to be a use by date by which God's promises will be fulfilled in my life. I went through that with Laurence when we were desiring or were struggling through the process of having children. And, you know, where you kind of think that, you know, 2 years go by and we still don't have children. 5 years go by and we still don't have children. How about waiting for 12 years before you have children? Well, the reality is that Abraham waited for longer than that, but we were kind of saying, well, hey, God, Laurence is moving, you know, just we don't want to be retired by the time we have children. And the reality is we don't have the understanding that we could be maybe over 40 and have children. We would like to have children now and then enjoy later on. You know, we don't want to be when they're 20 years old. We don't want to be grandparents in terms of age. So we thought that the time that there was a use by date. And it's hard to look at what God does outside of chronos. Oftentimes we look at this chronos thing that passes by and we just do not see God in action at all. How many of you can relate to that? We see time passing by and ticking, and we just don't see God in action. We kind of say, well, God, you know, remember that prophetic word that was spoken over my life. Remember, it was so clear to me that you had promises for my life, and I had dreams, and it seemed that those dreams and those promises were looking so good for my life, and now 5 years have gone by, 10 years have gone by, and nothing concrete has really happened. I think it's because God doesn't necessarily live or exist in chronos time. And what I mean by that, of course he exists in everything, but God kind of takes a step back and he doesn't look at our lives in terms of chronos time. The Bible has a different concept, and the Greek word has a different concept, which is called kairos time. And every once in a while, God breaks through into our chronology. God breaks through into our time and space. And when he breaks through with Kairos time. Kairos time is an event. It doesn't matter if it's the appropriate chronos time for us. Especially for us people who like things to be done on time. We like things to be done when we expect things to be done. Graham was just talking about Africa and Uganda, but I'm quite sure that anywhere in Africa, the whole thing is the same. When I went to Africa with the team, they would say we would show up at 3 o'clock. The truth of the matter is, at 3 o'clock, we started to wait for the people to show up to pick us up. 4 o'clock comes, they're still not there. 5 o'clock comes, and they're still not there. 6 o'clock comes, and you hear rumors of maybe somebody's arriving. And I kind of figured out that maybe they're thinking that it's 3 o'clock the next day because you just wait all the time. And I don't know about you, but us Westerners, we kind of start getting frustrated if somebody's late 5 minutes. How about 3 hours? How about 4 hours? And it seems to be the same way sometimes when we look at God, when we say, well, God, you're 5 minutes late in my life. You're 10 minutes late. You're an hour late. I was waiting for this promise to come through an hour ago. Where have you been, God? I don't think God necessarily thinks in the appropriate chronos time for us. God, I am 30 years old. By now, this, and this should have happened in my life. Every once in a while, God does come through. But God thinks in a different way, or at least when we look at the word kairos in the New Testament, it's a different type of time. It's a time when all the factors are right for God to pierce into our situation and to bring all of the past and everything that has happened with all of the promises and the potential of the future into one event, when all the ingredients are right, when all the conditions are favorable, then God speaks. And he says, it's time. He's not saying it's time like it's 3 o'clock. He's saying it's time for me to intervene. Everything is right. The time is right. And when Jesus was walking around the shores of the lake of Gennesareth, and he was preaching to the people around the area of Galilee, preaching the gospel, he says, the time is fulfilled. He was not saying, it's because I'm 30 years old and it's time. He was not saying, it's time because it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He was saying, it's time because God says the conditions are right for the gospel to be presented. It's time for my son to start his ministry. It's time to usher in the kingdom of God. It's time to enact my plan. It's not time in terms of chronos time, but it's time because all the conditions are right. The captain of a ship, for instance, seeks the appropriate conditions, the right tidal conditions, the right weather on a given date. And finally, the captain of the ship says, it's time. It's not just because it's time on the clock, but it's time because the conditions are right to set sail. The right date, the right conditions, the right purpose. It's time. The NASA, for instance, waits for the opportune conditions to launch its space shuttle on its mission. I just got a kind of a newspaper article here that kind of wraps up that idea of Kairos time. The NASA on Tuesday said conditions were right. That's December 4th, 2007. The conditions were right for this week's launch of the shuttle, Atlantis, as it prepared for its mission to deliver a European-built space laboratory to the orbiting international space stations. Our preparations are going exceptionally well for the launch of the space shuttle Atlantis to the ISS, NASA official Steve Payne told reporters, adding that there were So far, no technical issues to impede a smooth liftoff Thursday. NASA meteorologist Kathy Winter said that skies also were likely to be clear. The weather looks good, looks very good for Thursday, Winter said, adding that there is just a 10% chance of foul weather preventing launch at the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida, set for December 6th at 21:31. How precise is that? 21:31. Now, 21:31 GMT, that's Chronos time. But the reality is that Kairos time is when all the conditions are right. And the scientists and all of the team at the NASA had looked at all of the conditions at 21:31. That's when the time was right. Not just the Chronos time, but the Kairos time, the time for the event to take place. In modern day terminology, we kind of call that the window of opportunity. But Kairos time is more than just the window of opportunity. It's the window of opportunity that God opens up in our time and into our space so that he can fulfill his plans and we can seize his purposes. You see, I believe everybody comes into this world not just because it's Chronos time, but every person comes into this world because God says it's time. It's time for Deb to come into this world. It's time for Andy to come into this world. And when every one of us came into this world, whatever the time was, whatever the day was, whatever your birthday date is, it was a result of God saying it's time, not from a Chronos time, but from a Kairos time. I believe my marriage was a result of God saying, it's time. It's time and it's the right person and all the conditions are right for David and Lance to get together. The birth of my two children, the reason why God waited or asked us to wait or had us wait for 12 years, I just do not know why. But I know one thing is that when those boys came into the world, it's because God says it's time. Not Chronos time, but Kairos time. The right conditions, the right moment, the right season, the right time in history, it is time. Every once in a while, we experience the voice of God saying, it's time upon our life. It's time spoken from the mouth of God as he reaches out from eternity and comes into our Chronos and says, it's time for me to do something in the life of that individual. Kairos time is crisis time. It's time for God's decisive action and his decisions to come into action in our life. It all takes place when God says, it's time. And we grab a hold of that moment. Kairos time is the opportune moment. The opportune moment for God to move in our life. And this is just what Jesus was referring to when he says, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, you can be praying for somebody for years and years for their salvation. And then all of a sudden something happens. And God says it's time. And he reaches into the life of that person. It's not time because it's Chronos time. It's time because God intervenes at the right and opportune moment. Jesus came into this world preaching the kingdom of God, and it was time for the kingdom of God to be preached and for God to fulfill his purposes. So although we live in Chronos time, it is those Kairos moments that shape our lives. Every one of us, every single one of us, periodically will be impacted by God saying it's time, by those Kairos events in our lives. So I just want to briefly go through different words that define for me and that have defined for me, just different words and concepts. They're not in any particular order, but these are words for me that define Kairos events, that define those events that have shaped my life, that are events that I know that God reached through into my life and he says, it's time. When God said, it's time for this to happen in my life. These are words that kind of give a definition of what was happening in my world during those moments. And they might seem to be sometimes a contradiction, but hopefully they will help you to understand what is happening in your life. You might be able to relate to them when God kind of brings your life to a halt and says, it's time. So here are some of those words. The first word is collision. It's kind of, have any of you experienced an accident, a car accident? You know, when everything kind of goes, all of a sudden it's out of control. It's a realization for me that you are facing any possible or impossible situations in the plural all happening at once. It's something that is beyond you. It's a collision moment when you get to that realization that, hey, I can't control this anymore. I can't do anything about this. I need to cry out to God. The next word is the word that kind of follows from that, is the crisis. The crisis word. It's when decisions must be made, but it's not decisions that I can really control. It's this God making decisions and bringing everything together, but there's this sense of crisis in my life. You know, you are facing a crisis moment, and at this stage, it is important to understand that it is God that is doing the decision making. That is God that is bringing everything to a head. The collision, the crisis. The third word is the word changes. Changes, it's not surface change, but it's core changes in life. And these changes often take you outside of your comfort zone. Something is happening. God is making changes in your life. And oftentimes what I tend to do, and I'm quite sure I'm not the only one, is that I tend to try to hold on to those comfort things. I tend to try to hold on to the things that I can control. And I want to remain in control, but it seems to me that in reality, I'm probably best letting go and letting God be in control. So collision, crisis, changes. These are words and concepts that kind of define those kairos moments that are happening. The next one is the challenge to give things up. So when you realize that there are these changes, or when I realize that there's changes that are occurring in my life, then there's a challenge to give things up. You find that you will be challenged to make sacrifices in order to step into the kairos moment. And at that moment, it's important to obey. Oftentimes, God, when God, and I know that every time that I have faced, and I look back at those kairos moments in my life where God was piercing through into my life and bringing those changes, with those changes, he was also asking me to make sacrifices and to let go. I was challenged to give things up. Challenged to give things up that were dear to me. Challenged to give things up that I thought were important in my life. The next word is the word conflict. With those kairos moments, and I know this might sound weird, but when God pierced through into my life, into making these events that were life-changing for me, they were often accompanied with conflict. And whether it was internal conflict or even external conflict, even conflict with people, there seemed to have been these conflicts, these battles in my life that I had to fight. It's not as if God was saying it's time and everything was happening without me doing anything about it. There was a conflict and I had to face the battle. I had to face the fight. I had to pierce through myself and face the conflicts that were surrounding me at that moment. And sometimes it meant actual conflict with people saying enough is enough. I need to do something about this. The next word that characterized, it seems all negative so far, but it's not. It's just part of the process that I have found. The next word is the word chaos. Lots of things happening at once. When God pierces through into our lives in these chaos moments, it's not just one, or I have found in my life, it wasn't just one thing happening. It just seems that a lot of things were happening at once with many things up in the air. And one thing's for sure, that I couldn't control all of them. Actually, I couldn't control any of them. It felt in certain places that the world was falling apart. But don't worry, when God speaks and he speaks to chaos, he has a process of bringing order into chaos. And sometimes that's the best place for God to intervene. And it seemed to me that he created chaos in my life to bring me to that next stage where that it's time could happen for me. In the midst of all the conflict, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of the challenge and the changes and crisis, there was also, which is the next word, an incredible calm. In the midst of things being out of control, there is a deep peace that God is in control. And that's an incredible sense to feel that, wait a minute, my world seems to be falling apart. Everything seems to be changing at once. There seems to be a lot of chaos and conflict that is happening, but yet I'm totally feel the depth of peace in my heart, knowing that God is in control. Then the next one, the next word is the word choices. Choices are presented to you, but with a sense of urgency. Things seems to be happening quickly. But again, it's not choices without you deciding. It's choices that are presented to you. And you and I seem to have to make decisions quickly as those choices were presented to me. The next point is, or the next word or next concept is clean sweep. Kairos events often bring together many unresolved issues and unmet promises dealing with a multitude of things in one clean sweep. And then finally, the 10th concept of the 10th word is clarification. You begin to see God's solution to the impossible take place in amazing and often truly miraculous ways. And one of the words that I would also put up, but that kind of is underlined with that last word, is miracles. Among all of those changes, you see incredible miracles. Yes, there is collision and crisis and changes and conflict and chaos, but then there's the calm and God showing choices that you need to make a clean sweep of all a multitude of unmet things, but also amazing miracles that happen once after the others. See, when God says it's time, he's not saying it's time in terms of the clock. He's saying it's time for me to do something in your life. And you might look at all of those things that are happening and say, well, what in the world is happening? What's happening to my life? It seems that it's all falling apart. Seems that there's all of this chaos and confusion around me. But it might just be that God is saying, it's time, and I'm going to bring a solution to your life. It's time, and I'm going to bring something into your life that you've often dreamt of. And maybe it's that word that was spoken to you 10 years ago, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, this will never happen because 10 years have gone by. But now everything is coming together for good, and God says, it's time. So what do you need to do in the midst of all of that? When you read the Gospel of Mark, it's interesting that you hear kind of this rhythm of one word that is constantly repeated. Immediately and immediately. If you read Mark, it's just kind of, it gets quicker and quicker Mark doesn't go into details like Luke and Matthew. Mark kind of goes from one thing to another. One. If you read the, we read it at the beginning, the story of Jesus going into the desert and into the wilderness and fasting. Mark only gives about one verse on that, whereas Luke goes into details of what happens. Mark just says, and immediately the Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness. And then, and immediately Jesus comes back. And immediately, and we read again in the first chapter, verse 16, Jesus was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brothers Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets. Immediately. Now, I don't want to go too much into the details of these disciples, but I reckon that the disciples they were looking for a rabbi. They had been looking. If you study a little bit into the details of their lives, obviously there's not much said, but it seems to me that there's a potential that they had gone and seen other rabbis. They were in the right environment, the right place, where all the young men of that time would have loved to have been chosen as a disciple of a rabbi. But the problem is that not everybody was chosen in those days. The rabbis actually rejected potential disciples. It was the disciple that would go and say, Rabbi, do you want me? Would you accept me to be your disciple? It's when I was reading through this and studying, it seemed to me that they had kind of given up on the idea and gone back to be with their dad and kind of settled with the idea that they'll be fishermen now, that being a disciple was maybe an idea that was far-fetched. It wasn't something that would actually take place in their life. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and he says to them, would you follow me and be my disciple? You got to be kidding me. This is a dream of my life. I wanted to follow a rabbi, and here is this man that comes and he breaks the traditional way of doing things. Rabbis never went to a disciple, never asked a disciple to follow them. A disciple had to come to them and say, Rabbi, would you please accept me? Would you please let me be your disciple? Well, I'll think about it. Well, actually, what were your grades in school? You actually didn't get the right grades. What did you major on? Well, I'm not sure that I want you to be my follower. As a matter of fact, no, I don't want you to be my disciple. And they'd given up on the idea. And here comes Jesus, who breaks the tradition, and he says to them, would you follow me? A kairos moment for them. Everything, their world changes in one instant. And immediately, they drop everything and they follow Jesus. See, this is the response that we need to have to those kairos moments. When God breaks through into our lives and he says it's time, our response is to immediately say, yes, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? So I've just written a few kind of thoughts. There's not much in reality. But if you think that you're going through a kairos moment right now, stay close to God. Actually, stay close to God all the time. But, you know, keep your eyes on God. Don't miss the moment. Get an experienced person to help you walk through the process. And when I say an experienced person, don't ask your mate to do this. An experienced person who knows what is happening is going to help you and help settle you through that moment. Next step, obey. Whatever God is saying, just obey. Just do it. And actually, the less you think and the more you just say, yes, God, and immediately obey, the better off you're going to be. Be ready to make sacrifices. And the next one, seize the opportunities. Now, watch out for the kind of the distractions also. Seize the opportunities, but watch out for the distractions and don't force closed doors. When we live ready to embrace kairos moments in our life, then there is no wasted time. There is no wasted time. Everything comes together. When God pushes through and creates that window of opportunity for your life, it's more than what you've ever dreamt for, and it's worth waiting for. I've had two major ones, but I know that there's been more minor ones, but two major ones. I know that the events that led to Lance and I getting married exactly 21 years ago, yesterday, that was a Kairos moment. Everything that led to that was a Kairos moment for my life. The events that led to me coming to Australia in 1997, about 14 years ago, that was Kairos moment for my life. And whenever there has been a Kairos moment, it's always worked out to be far better than anything I have imagined. So, is it time? Is God saying it's time in your life? Or are you in that Kronos moment and you're kind of looking at everything that's happening and say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't seem that God is in the Kronos. No, God actually isn't there. God is just waiting for the opportune time for your life. And it might be a long time. A long, long time. But God is waiting for the opportune time. And when He says it's time, watch out. Hold on to your hat and let God do His stuff for you. Let's stand. It's time to end. Father God, I just pray today that there would be something in this message that if not today, in the future, will enable some of us to understand what is happening in our life. I also want to pray for those today who are waiting for promises, who have these unfulfilled desires and promises and the frustration that is building up. I pray that you would endow them with patience to know how to wait for your Kairos time. And whilst they are waiting, that they would allow each moment of life to be useful for you and to not worry too much about the unfulfilled things. Because I know that all your promises are yes and amen, and that you will come through at the opportune moment. Lord, I pray that your word today would return to you, having fulfilled that which you purposed it to fulfill. And that we would all keep our eyes stayed on you whilst we're waiting for those moments in our lives, and for those who are going through Kairos times and the conflicts and all the difficulties that are accompanied with it, but with the promises and the peace, I pray that they would also keep their eyes fixed on you, knowing that you are in control, and that instead of holding on and trying to make things happen themselves, they can just rely on you because you are faithful. And you have our best interests at heart. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.